On this Friday afternoon, Eric Snodgrass now joins us from Nutrien Ag Solutions in Agrible to discuss the weather forecast. Boy, Eric, it has just been a magnificent week. A great start to the month of August. And it's been below average, I suppose. Is that right?
Yeah, several degrees below average. And in fact, I think a lot of folks, I saw people walking through my neighborhood last night wearing jeans and sweatshirts. It was a little chilly at one point. And yeah, it's highly anomalous compared to the rest of the summer, right? I mean, we at times would get a little, you know, brief shots at some cooler weather, but nothing that lasted 5, 6, 7 days like this cool shot has. And it's still got another couple of days on it. So enjoy today and enjoy tomorrow, because the pattern is transitioning a little bit here as we go into next week with some heat coming back on and also quite a few chances for rainfall next week.
Well, I want to talk about that in a moment, but we better talk about the rainfall that has been recent. How much coverage in this last, oh, I don't know, week or so?
Well, it started off with places from Missouri cutting through southern Illinois over to the Ohio River Valley that got rain. And there were some places in the Ohio River Valley that desperately needed it. Then things dried out here, but then just over the last 24 hours, we actually had some big storms that rolled right through the mid part of Iowa, like hit near Boone, Iowa. And that's one of those places that's been very, very dry for the last 45 days and has had quite a bit of heat there. So that's been the pocket, that last stronghold of drought in the Corn Belt that did get some rain, but understand it was very local. In other words, not everybody got a drink out of this, but I saw some reports of 2.5 inches of rainfall in some places, which was desperately needed there in Iowa.
Yeah, just so those who don't know where Boone is or don't recall, it's not very far from Ames, so kind of in the center of the state. It's also home to the Farm Progress Show, or would have been this year for sure, had that show been able to take place. Of course, that one's going to happen online. Now, let's look further into the month of August. You said there's some changes coming in the near term and maybe the longer term?
Yeah, so the atmosphere is wanting to go back to what it was doing in July and June, and that is the tropics are going to go get stagnant again and shove a what we call the phase one and two of the MJO back into place. So we're going to take everything back to Africa again, and we thought it was going to stay relatively open and moving, but the tropics really just want to shut things down, but not our tropics, the tropics over there in the Indian Ocean. So what that means for us is we're going to see the atmosphere go back to the state that it wanted to be in back in July. And therefore, our temperatures start to climb back up, and we got these wide open Gulf of Mexico moisture transport set up going, and it's going to give us chances for storms starting Sunday, but then lasting through much of next week. But the heat's coming back on. We might see some high temperatures even touching 90 degrees, and with the humidity, that's going to be the name of the game. Now, that longer range was just released to us from the European model. And so thinking now beyond August into September, October, November, I honestly think that overall it's a pretty positive signal, and what it's shown is warm. So at this point, we'd have no reason. There's no reason to say, oh, look out for an early frost. I don't even want to say that F word, you know, this early, but the models aren't hinting at that. And then the other part of it is if it does go over to a drier end of the season, well, that would help dry that crop down in the field and therefore make it a much quicker harvest. So the models right now are suggesting a quick harvest. And by the way, if since calculating from April 1st till today, we're currently sitting at 90% of the way to accumulating 2,500 GDUs. So that would be, you know, for 100 to 110 day corn, that would be right on target for when it would be finished. So we're moving this crop along pretty quickly.
Any wild cards that you see in the weather forecast?
Yeah, you know, the whole summer's been plagued by this pathetic La Nina that's not been able to get going, right? It keeps flashing. But lately we've seen some cooling in the Central Pacific. And I just looked, and based on the buoy network data, there's some cooler water beneath there that's going to surface. We might actually transition into a La Nina-like fall. And if that's the case, that would be a very interesting, you know, progression finally of this La Nina that's really not been able to do much. It's been in too much competition with the warm water that's in the North Pacific. Now, there's a couple of aspects to that that I find quite interesting. One, we went ahead and let the models run all the way out to January and took a look. I'll tell you something. If you're a snow lover in Illinois, everybody right now that loves snow wants the European model to verify perfectly because it would rock and roll right through us and set us up. But that's really far out there just for entertainment purposes only. But I think the other piece of this is the tropics, okay? So if that La Niña develops late this summer and fall, well, that could really calm things down over the tropics in terms of wind shear. But remember, when you have low wind shear, you have much better chances of having hurricanes become stronger. So the tropics aren't calm in terms of hurricane activity. And the National Hurricane Center just yesterday updated their forecast for the remainder of the season, and they gave it the highest I've ever seen at an 85% chance of being above normal. Colorado State did the same thing. They're actually calling for this season to be 200% of average on tropical cyclones. So while I say the models are going after this drier, warmer fall for us, the wild card is if we send a tropical system up the gut of the Mississippi, it comes right over us and dumps a lot of rain on us at the wrong time. So can't predict it out that far for those kind of events, but we need to be watching for it this year.
All right. Speaking of a lot of rain, why don't you check in on China for me too?
Yeah, so this week I spent some time really trying to dig into the weather situation in China. And you know, there's a pretty big data void there. In other words, I can't get information out of them on what they've actually been observing for precipitation. So I went up top. I went up to satellites and I grabbed about, let's see, June 1st up until yesterday. And I found that over the Yangtze River, they have had places along that river that have had between 45 and now 65 inches of rain, 45 to 65 inches of rainfall. So just for perspective, that's 130% of our annual rainfall right here in Champaign. Okay? They had that since June 1st. So the flooding we're hearing about, any additional rainfall is going to make it worse. And what I just looked at here this morning was the long-range models through the next 15 days still have well above average precipitation forecast on the tributaries and on the western side of that river. So that river, downstream of it, there's 500 million people. So we need to be thinking a lot about what could happen if this flood problem continues as we're forecasting. Could be major implications in farming as well.
Yeah, so major implications in their availability of regional and local food supplies and what that means on the international export market area, and of course, just aid as it relates to any kind of disaster across the planet. So, hey, thank you so much for all the information. I sure do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass. He is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible.